Matthew 16 and verse number 13. Thank you.
The Bible says when Jesus, my own brother Timmy, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." But he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 15, the Apostle Peter writes, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Would you lift your hands and ask the Holy Ghost to help us and anoint us this morning? Lamb of God, we thank you so much for your prayer. I know over here at Broxton we've got a lot of teachers and educators. How many do we have in here this morning? I know someone's teaching. Was there any teachers in here this morning? Several? Wow. And several more. Now, when I was in high school, and I graduated a few years ago, in 2000. I didn't know if we was going to get to graduate. That was Y2K, Brother Vic, and they said the whole world was going to shut down, but we made it through that, and I graduated with an advanced diploma. I know some of you probably can't believe that, but I remember in high school, we'd go in the classroom, and I don't even know if they still do it. I know Georgia's a little more high scale than Alabama is with their education system. And we're pretty low on the totem pole. But I do remember going into my high school class a lot of times, Brother Carver, and you walk in there and sit down, and teacher said, "All right, clear your desk off." And they was going to have what was they going to have? Y'all still have them, teachers? Y'all still do that? I hated those. I remember it felt just like a desperation swept across the classroom. Even the smart people, just the idea of something you wasn't prepared for, it just threw them off. And I realized something then, I hated it, but I realized something now. For a teacher to do that, it seems to me that they're under the impression that you've had ample opportunity to retain the knowledge that they've tried to put into you, and they want to make sure you've been paying attention. And it's amazing to me how some people that they could ace a scheduled test or an exam. It was just, they had it together, but you throw that surprise on them, and they would just flunk out a pop quiz. What is that? Well, it seems that when you got a scheduled test, when you know something's coming, I remember how I did, you could cram and look, and you go over the information, you could get enough in your mind to get you by. But when you're called on the carpet to really put down what you've really learned, and that's what I want to preach about this morning, on passing the pop quizzes of life. In our text, Jesus and his disciples are having a discussion about the general census of the people and what they thought about Christ. And Jesus asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I am?" And that's a pretty easy answer there. There's no sweat. There's no pressure on them. They just repeat what they've heard. They said, "Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're one of the prophets." It's no big deal. Just repeat what you've heard. But I want you to look at verse 15. Jesus turns the tables on them and says, "But whom do you say that I am?" Boy, and he puts the pressure on them here. There's no way for them to cheat. If I could say it that way, there's no cramming, there's no time for studying, there's no time to have a meeting and come to a conclusion of who this is. It's right there. They had to know the answer. And if anybody should have known the answer, it was these men. They had been exposed to Christ, they had seen his miracles, they had heard his message, they had heard his Sermon on the Mount. They had an ample opportunity to find out for themselves who this man Jesus is. And notice the response of Peter immediately without hesitation. He didn't fall apart and say, "Give me another day, let me study." He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter had made the grave. Peter had enough of experience in his own life that he knew the answer. You're God in the flesh. You're the Son of the living God. Verse 17, Jesus responds and gives him a passing. He said, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. He made it. And I want you to notice when I read to you later on in Peter's writings in 1 Peter 3:15, Peter says this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that lieth in you. Peter knew about being put on the spot. Peter knew about having to give somebody an answer right then, without a moment's hesitation, without an opportunity to figure out. He knew, and that's what Peter's telling them here in the book of 1 Peter. Be ready to give an answer. And I want to preach to you young people tonight. There's not always time. There's people that will put you on the spot in this life about the way you live and the way you believe. There's not always time for a consultation. There's not always time to go to the Bible and go to the pastor. If we're ever living in an hour where you as young people need to know what you believe and know why you believe it, it's the day and hour we live in right now. Peter and them, they could tell everybody when Jesus asked them. It was easy to say what they said. But I want to preach to you this morning, young people, what they said isn't a correct response. We live in a world that is absolutely full of questions. If you haven't noticed it, we're the minority. And they look at us with questions, Angela, why in the world do you live like that? Why do you dress like that? Why are you so happy all the time? Why are you smiling? And the age-old response of it's against my religion, or that's what the church says, or that's what the preacher says, that's not going to make the grade in the hour we live in. We must know what Paul said in one place. I know in whom I have believed. You've got to get an experience in your heart where you know what you believe and why you believe it. Sabrina was in Walmart this past week getting some stuff to get ready to come over here. And she got home and she began to tell me there was a man in line behind her. And he asked her, he said, can I ask you a question? Now, I don't ever get any of these good questions. I don't know if they can pick the people. I don't know. I would love for them to, but he asked her, he said, the way you dress. He said, do you dress that way because it's biblical or because you want to? Well, on the spur of the moment, she said, looking back, she wished she would have said both, Brother Carver. But she doesn't do it just because nobody's making her do it. But she looked at him, she said, well, the way I dress is biblical. He said, all right. And he said, got to talk. He said, can I ask you another question? And she said, yeah. He said, how do y'all baptize? Boy, and that's like a red flag. And you know, my wife, she doesn't say a whole lot. She's not real. But Brother Vic, she knows what she believes. She looked at him. She didn't stutter, we baptize in water. Now, that wasn't what he was asking. She looked back at that man and said, we baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Allison, she didn't have to call me. She didn't have to call her daddy. She had an experience with God for herself and was able to answer a heretic when he began to try to indoctrinate her with their oneness doctrine. She said, no, sir, we believe in the baptism in the name of the Father. I want to preach to you this morning, young people. You're going to have to know what you believe. The book of Acts, chapter number 16. How important is it that you know? The book of Acts, chapter number 16. Paul, Silas had been in that Philippian jail all night. And you know the story, the earthquake, the jails are open. That jailer, he comes in with a light. And he's ready to kill himself, Brother Carver. He's ready to fall on his own sword. And right there, as he's about to commit suicide in front of Paul, he looks at him. And he puts him on the spot with a question. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Understand, right then, there's no time to call a meeting. They didn't have time to call the hierarchy. They didn't have time to call a preacher. If they didn't give this man the correct response, he's about to go into eternity lost. Do you understand this morning? Your answer to this world's question could influence the eternal destiny of somebody's soul. This man's about to die lost and go to hell. But the Apostle Paul, right on the spot, they knew what to say. If he would have asked the Jews that, they'd have begun to talk to him about the law and about the letter of the law and what he had to do. If he'd have asked some people that, they wouldn't have known what to respond. They'd have said, well, if you get rid of your television and if you'll do this and you'll do that and you'll do better and you'll live better and you'll pay tithes and all of that's well and good. But the Apostle Paul had the right answer. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. When he was called on the carpet of what he believed, he had the correct answer. I want to preach to you this morning. Could you do that? Do you have an experience with God to the place where if somebody come to you and you say, well, I'm young, but understand this world's looking at us. And if they come to you and ask you, what do I need to do to be saved? Do you know where to take them in the scriptures? Do you know how to really tell somebody to be saved? What if they come to you asking you questions about what you believe? I want to preach to you this morning and hope and pray you can get an experience. And I believe some of you do. But understand, it's as you're growing up, all of you's getting older, some of you's graduated. It's not time to point them back to a church. This world's not needing religion. They're not needing church. They're needing some people that know what they believe to be able to point them back to an experience they had in their life and say, let me tell you what he's done in my own life. Would you be able to do that? If somebody's eternal destiny hinges on your answer, how would it be? Acts 8:34, when Philip was called down to Samaria, that eunuch that was in the chariot, he was reading from the word of God. And he, and when Philip got in there, he asked him, he said, do you understand what you're reading? He's reading Isaiah. He said, no, how can I except somebody show me? And the Bible said at that time, Philip opened the scripture and began to preach unto him Jesus. He knew what the answer was, Brother Clifford. He didn't have to go and consult with anybody. He knew. And then the man said, here's water. Can I be baptized? He knew what it was. He got down. He baptized him. I want to ask you, how about us this morning? What is your answer when the world questions you? Peter said, be ready to give it an answer of the hope that lieth in you. What is your response? Is there anybody in here? I'm sure there is. Has ever been questioned about the way you look? Anybody? All right. Is anybody, you've been questioned, why do you go to church all the time? Why do you dress like you dress? Why won't you go here? Why won't you go there? And Brother Silas, going to youth camps, being raised in church, I've come to a sad reality that a lot of young people in our holiness churches, they know how to dress, they know what to do and what not to do, but they have no idea why they're doing it. They only do it because that is what's accepted in the holiness church. That is what, and that's good. Respect is good. I'm not belittling your respect, but you need to know why you live like you live. It's not good enough to say my mama made me, or my daddy mandated, or the preacher said it. I can't sing in the choir. I can't do this. I'd like for you to be able to look back at a world and say, this is why I live like I live. Nobody's making me live like this. Nobody's forcing me, but it's what I want to do. When they look at you and say, why do you dress like that? The correct response is not because I go to holiness church. Not because I'm made to. But when you can look back at them like Sabrina did, and not only say it's biblical, but say, I choose to be modest. I choose to look different. From, hey, this world, they look at you young people and they think we look crazy, don't they? Have you ever seen some of them? I know we're in the country and I live in but this world, the way they dress and the way they look, the way their hairstyles and the way their clothing, they've got the audacity to look at a young lady that's covered from head to toe. Her hair's not cut. She's not painted up like a clown. And they got the audacity to look at you young ladies and say, y'all look crazy, when they don't have on enough clothes to cover themselves up. They're painted like a clown. Their hair looks like a boy. And they want to say that you look crazy. I want to have enough of God. I want you to be able to look back at them and say, I live this way because because I want to, but let me tell you what the Word of God says about it. Let me tell you what the Word of God says about my hair. It's a glory unto me. Let me tell you what it says about women adorning themselves in modest apparel. Young ladies and young men, I want to preach to you this morning. You need to know what you believe. We live in a world that's depressed and depraved. And we've got our young people and holiness people that really have the joy of the Lord. Some of you, I've noticed some of you smiling all the time and just happy. Sister Mary's always laughing and happy and smiling. And you live in a world that for them to have any sense of sanity, they have to take antidepressants and anxiety and all of this. And they look at us as crazy as they think we are. And they wonder, what is wrong with them people? Why are they laughing? Why are they happy? I would love to be able to that open a door of opportunity to look at them. Say, I wasn't always this way. I wasn't always happy. There was one time I was just like you. I was depressed and I was on the bottom of life. My life was a wreck and I was a mess. But I met Jesus Christ at an altar and he turned my life around. He picked me up out of an horrible pit and a miry clay. He put a song in my heart. Why are you so happy? Why do you go to church all the time? The correct response is not because if I don't, a preacher's going to pick on me. It's not because I have to. Some of you is old enough now that you could probably, you probably wouldn't necessarily have to go to church if you didn't want to. We didn't preach. We was at our youth camp a couple weeks ago, and I was emceeing the service, and when I looked out across that crowd and I seen young people, Sister Mary, and I made a statement in church. I said, you realize that there's young people right here that don't have to be here. They don't have anybody pushing them. They don't have anybody promoting them. They don't have anybody telling them to go to church. Their whole environment's trying to pull them down. But they have something in their heart that, why do you go to church all the time? Because I love to go to the house of God. The Bible said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That's where I get my soul fed. Again, Sabrina at Wendy's a couple, I don't know, it's been a while back. We was in Wendy's and she had her hair down and somebody was asking her about her hair. And it's amazing to me when people see women with long hair, they ask them, how'd you get your hair that long? Really, is that a question that needs to be asked? You don't cut it. And that's what she said, I don't cut it. And she says, you never cut it. No, I've never cut it. You ever notice, y'all? I understand you young people are under pressure like never before. But you need to realize something. Most of the time, it hasn't been the world that's criticized the way my wife's dressed. It hasn't always been the world that's criticized her long hair. It hadn't been the world that's criticized our abstinence from the world. But oftentimes it's people right in the house of God that don't have an experience with God. And your life brings conviction on their life. It's amazing to me the people right in the house of God that will try to dissuade you young people from having an experience with God. I remember when God began to deal with me about some things in my life and just personal convictions. I don't preach my personal convictions to you, but I don't mind sharing with you. When God began to deal with me about wearing long sleeves, Sister Mary, that's a personal conviction. All right? Don't go here and say you'll never hear Jonathan Prickett preach against you wearing short sleeves. There's modest short sleeves. I'm going to give you a disclaimer. When God began to talk to me, I had people that I was real good friends with in my church. I didn't say anything. I didn't get up and make an announcement. I'll no longer be wearing... No, I didn't make an announcement. I just started. Where I was working, we had uniforms, Vic. And I just wore a long sleeve shirt under them. You know, I'd roll it up a little bit off my sleeves, off my wrist. And it wasn't nobody at work that said anything to me. But these people at church that were my best friends, they began to make fun of me. They didn't ask me about it, Brother Donnell. They waited till we got in front of everybody. They said, well, you super holy now? I didn't say anything to them at all, Allison. But you know what? What they said to me didn't take away what God had done in my heart. I didn't change because they didn't like it. I didn't quit doing it because they made fun of me. Why? Because I didn't get it because a preacher told me to do it. I got somewhere and prayed through to God, talked to my heart. And then regardless of what everybody else said, I was able to hold on to my conviction. If you're doing something just because a preacher's told you to do it, respect is good. Don't take me wrong. But you need to have it in your heart, because there's going to come a time when the preacher said so is not going to hold water in your life. You're going to have to know that God's talked to your heart, and that's the only way you'll be able to live this life. Same way with television. The same people, same exact people. I stayed over at their house all the time, a buddy of mine and his wife. And I was over there one evening. There's a bunch of young people there from the church. And they turned the television on. They was going to watch a movie or something. And Sister Mary, I didn't cause no scene. I didn't get up and draw, you know, a skull and crossbones on the television. I didn't. We were all good friends. I was just laying in the floor. I just kind of turned my back. I wasn't going to say anything. And would you believe? I know it's hard for some of you to believe. They called me out on it in front of all of our young people. Well, you too good to watch TV now? You think we're all sinners because we watch TV? I didn't say anything about their stupid TV. I just turned my back to it because God had dealt with my heart. It hurt. It hurt bad because they were my best friends. But you know what I did? I just got up. I walked out. I got in my truck. I went to the house. I didn't change my conviction for them. I didn't change what I believed to suit them. I knew what I believed in my heart. Some of you young people, that's where you're at this morning. You've got things God's talking to you about, but you're so concerned with what everybody around is going to think when you move up to where God's dealing with you. But I want to preach to you, if you'll get it in your heart, that's been over, I don't know, 12, 13, 14 years ago, I still got the same convictions. They're out of church. Their lives are wrecked. They went worldly. And here I am, not because of my own goodness, but because I got on the rock of Jesus Christ and got it settled in my heart what I believed. And my beliefs didn't change with the winds of this world. Brother Clifford, somehow in some way, through the grace of God, he's kept me consistent all of these years in what I believe. It bothers me when I see these young people that's so inconsistent. Man, there's probably, and I don't want to sound mean, but there's probably some of you, you've spent hundreds of dollars on CDs because you'll pray at youth camp and God will deal with you and you'll throw them away. But you'll get cold on God during the year and you'll go back and buy them again. You wasted a lot of money because of inconsistency in your Christian life. Consistency means a whole lot. I love to see us shouting around this altar. I want to shout. I want us to have a breakthrough. I like to see you shout, but I'd rather see you live consistent. Because I've seen a lot of people shout, and their life after youth camp wasn't consistent. They were back and up and down and back and forth. I got friends that when they pray through real good, they're ready. Well, they get rid of their TV. They'll move up to God. They're ready to do a work for the Lord. But you watch them when they quit praying. Here comes the TV back in. Here comes this back in and that back in. It's time for some of you to make up your mind what you believe and live what you believe and what God has dealt with you. If there's ever a time you need to know, it's now. I don't know what time it is. I'm not going to preach long. But it's a crying shame that right in some of our holiness churches that there's young people. I didn't realize this as much. I don't know if y'all got I'm sure y'all, if any of you ever played the game Bible Trivia? We got that game at the church. At some buddies of mine's got it. We got to play in that game one night. And I never in my life, I didn't know people that was raised in church all of their life didn't have a clue about some of the most simple Bible stories. Well, oh boy, and he was about half asleep. I'd give it to him. I'd say it if he was here. He's a good friend of mine. The question is, who is the father of Ham? A dude popped up out of the chair and said, Abraham. I just looked at him. He went back to sleep. Questions that my little girl knows, Brother Doodlebug, that teenagers and young adults don't know the answer to. It's a shame in a holiness church when they don't know they can't name you the first five books of the Bible. They can't name the 12 disciples. They can't name the fruits of the Spirit or the 17 workings of the flesh. But I guarantee you, they can tell you first, second, and third string starters for the Atlanta Braves. They can tell you who's starting for the Georgia Bulldogs or the Crimson Tide. They can tell you who won the who was in the you know, Sweet 16, down to the 8, down to the Final Four, and who won it. Some of you know who's going to win the NBA National Championship, or if they already have, I don't know. And they don't even know the simplest things about the Word of God. It's no wonder some people struggle so much. They don't read their Bible. They don't have a daily prayer life. They're so wrapped up in the world. But if you'll get out of that world and get into the Word of God, you can live a consistent Christian life. I tell you what, the most miserable place I've ever been, if somebody would get us a song, the most miserable place I've ever been in my life was in that in-between. When I knew what God wanted, when I knew what God was dealing with me about, but I wasn't sure I wanted to sell out to that. And I was up and down. I'd go good, Cliff, for a while, and I would be like, I just ain't sure about this. Cliff and Nolan talk. It's been a long time. We went to youth camp together at Allentown. If you don't believe in miracles, you look right there and look right here from way back then till now. But what is it? It's not because Brother Doodlebug, and you know, y'all know me good enough to know I believe in an exterior standard of holiness. But it's not because I dressed this way that's kept me all of these years. It's not because of something I don't do or something I did do that's kept me all of these years. It's somehow through the grace of God, He established it in my heart that this is what I'm going to be. This is what I'm going to live. Regardless of who likes it, regardless of who doesn't like it, this is me. I'm just me. And that's what people ask me sometimes. Well, I say, I'm just me. I'm not going to change for them. I'm not going to change for them. I'm going to live what God's put in my heart. And this morning, I'm so glad that settled in my heart, Brother Carver. That struggle's not there anymore because I made up my mind. I'll preach to you in closing as we all stand. You're here this morning. God's dealing with your heart, talking to you about some issues and some things in life. Don't jump on a bandwagon. There's a lot of people that's jumped on bandwagons in an excited moment and then said stuff and made vows that wasn't really in their heart, and they never was able to live it. And that failure caused them just to quit and give up. But I tell you something this morning, young people, if you'll get alone with God, forget what everybody else is doing and pray through for yourself till God deals with you. Till God talks to you, then you can know in your heart what you believe, and you'll be like Peter said. You'll be ready to give them an answer right on the spot. You can give them an answer. As our sister plays, I want all us young people, all of you young people, to gather in this altar. We're gonna have a season of prayer. Come on, young people. God, talk to my heart this morning. Show me where I can move up. Let me have it settled in my heart as to what I believe. What I'm going to live. I'm not going to change with the fashions and fads of this world. I'm not going to change from youth camp to youth camp and culture to culture. I'm going to be what I am and live for God, how He's dealt with me. Come on, young people. Come on, adults. Let's pray with these young people this morning.